For those of you who do not know us, we are the Kemp family, which I'm looking around and I don't see an unfamiliar face anywhere. So, our ministry is a full-time helps ministry, helping churches and missionaries of our like faith. I'll go ahead and make that point clear. We don't go helping the Southern Baptist Convention or any other churches with their stuff. We're helping our independent Baptist churches with their technology needs. Coming from sound, video, live stream, Zoom meetings. We have another church that does Zoom meetings, and I plainly say to pastors, not every service needs to be live streamed.
Right.
Yeah, because it gets used in the wrong ways a lot of times. But for the shut-ins and for an outreach, it's not a bad tool. I've been doing sound since I was 8, and that sounds crazy, but I started mixing about right there on that left-hand side underneath the pew because my dad couldn't bend over and hit the knobs. So, he set everything up, and I was actually mixing sound when I got saved. I'll touch on that just a little bit. Those of you under the tent have already heard my testimony, but I was in the sound booth. I was 13 years old and was running sound by myself, and it was one of those where the sound booth had been built over the stairs. Leading downstairs, and there was an evangelist preaching a message on hell, and I do not remember the exact message. I couldn't tell you where he was in the text at all that night, but I do remember this. It felt like the fires of hell were leaping out from underneath those stairs and coming up trying to take me that way, because I'd made a profession when I was younger, 8 or 9, I believe. I'm trying to remember if I was 7, 8, or 9. My memory gets fuzzy, but I had made a profession when I was younger, and that's all it was. It was because of my buddies going up, that kind of thing. I wanted to fit in and be part of it. But the Lord showed me that night that I was lost and on my way to hell. And I felt like he was showing me that this was the last time he was going to give me an opportunity. And I was only 13. So for those who put it off and put it off and put it off, he does not have to abide and wait for you. All he's got to do is offer it one time. So I was saved in that meeting. I accepted Christ that night as my Savior. I'd grabbed my uncle, who was a preacher at the time, by the hand. And y'all didn't hear this part at the meeting, but we went downstairs. But that wasn't where I needed to go. I needed to get up to the altar. So after talking to him for minutes, I said, I need to get to the altar. And that's where we went. And I went to the altar, and I gave it all to the Lord, put my trust and faith in him. And ever since, he's been using me to work on sound. I was helping work on churches, sound equipment and stuff with my dad by the time I was 15, and going around and helping different ministries, that sort of thing. I've been doing tent meetings that long as well. I actually built a wire snake, so basically it's a way to get the cables from the front to the back, because I said the church didn't need to spend that much money on a snake. I built one when I was 16, so to actually run a tent meeting for our church. But we don't just do meetings. We help install. We help the Hope of Israel, Brother Samuel Freed, and Dr. Freed. We help them. That's how we got to know Chris. He was introduced to us there. And we do help on the tent trail, but the majority of our ministry is going and helping our local churches. When I say local independent Baptist churches, not just in North Carolina. We travel all over. We have been, of course, to North Dakota, South Dakota. Anytime we're on the tent trail, we're helping the churches that we're going to as well while we can. I'm trying to remember states. Anyway, I won't bore y'all with the states, but last year we were able to work on 52 churches. And that's physically go and work on 52 churches. And I know that equals one a week. That's not what we're doing. We're doing some weeks we're doing more than that. With their different problems, helping them. It's not about them saving money. It is, but at the same time, we don't want them to spend money they don't have to. We go in and help them find the right solution without ordering the Amazon special that's not going to last them. y'all's Amazon special lasted a whole lot longer. and some of it will. But at the same time, I want churches to be good stewards and be able to save funds and finances to be able to support more missionaries to get the gospel out. I'm trying to keep this short for you, brother. I really am. we'll take questions. Yeah, that may be easier. Anybody got questions? I will say this, the Lord allowed us, so as far as the way the ministry came about, I'd been helping churches for years off and on, and he allowed us to be sitting under a missionary who was doing a presentation one night at our local church. And I've known the man for years, and you know, he knew I did sound. He does some sound work and stuff as well. And he said, I've got a burden, and y'all help me pray. The Lord needs people, and he was including himself in this, to be able to help with sound systems for camp meetings and things of that nature, where churches go out and they don't have what they need. And he wanted to be able to have that ability or availability to be able to provide them with that. And I was sitting next to Mitzi, about where Brother Luke is, and it's like the Lord just took a sword and went, because at the time we weren't doing anything, okay? Took a sword and poked it straight through my heart, and the tip hit Mitzi at the same time. Now, we didn't talk about it right then, but we figured out, you know, that after we talked later that evening, and I had already told my pastor that I felt like the Lord needed me to get back being busy, and my pastor knew that we knew how to do that stuff. And he said, okay, then let's get to it. And we purchased equipment out of some funds we had put back and started helping in that respect, and then also helping churches. And so I worked for AT&T for 19 years, and the Lord was telling me it's time for me to leave AT&T and do this on a more full-time basis, because I was taking all of my vacation time and going and working on churches. And that year, when that first year Chris met us, he had a meeting in Dallas, Georgia, tent meeting, that he said, I really need your help. I'd already taken on my vacation time. It's already scheduled out. And the meeting was going to be in August. And this was in May. In June, late June, I was in a meeting with upper management at AT&T, and I knew that we were supposed to be leaving AT&T. I just didn't know how or when, because the Lord had already impressed upon my heart that I needed to be out on my own where we could do things. And we had a business on the side that we really hadn't invested a lot of time into, more so it was just getting it set up and ready to be able to do step out away from AT&T. I was in that meeting with management, and they said, that upper manager, he said, he wanted to tell all of us managers, you won't always be managers at AT&T. And I knew the writing was on the wall. And I spoke with Mitzi on the way home that night after we got home, because it was church night. My manager loved to have meetings on Wednesday nights, and it was 2 hours away from my house. So I was listening to the live stream at the church on the way back that Mitzi was running. But when we talked that night, she said, Kevin, do they ever offer managers a buyout who aren't of retirement age? Because you've got to remember, this is 4 years ago. I was 41. So I told her at the time, no, babe, I've never seen that in my entire career of being there. They were trying to buy out managers who were of retirement age so they could get them off the payroll, get those high dollars gone, and get some, you know, pay somebody less to do the same work or more work. And so that was on Wednesday. That Friday, they sent out an email announcement that they were offering all managers a buyout regardless of retirement age, to be able to keep your retirement, 6 months of pay and 6 months of benefits. And I didn't run through the door. Okay, I wanted to. My flesh wanted to, but I have learned over the years a little bit of wisdom, not much, but a little bit, that just because the door's open does not mean you rush right through it. I told Mitzi about it, and we were getting ready, because two of the weeks of vacation we had left was to go on a mission trip up to Maine to help a missionary with our church at canvassing the area, doing exactly what we're doing, but it was much more remote area. And it wasn't for a tent meeting, but for services at the local church and Bible that we were putting on vacation Bible schools. And so me and Mitzi both agreed to pray together on that trip and come back after the trip with what the Lord laid on both our hearts. And it was unanimous what the Lord laid on both our hearts, because that Monday I went back to work, called my boss, and I said, I told him, I said, I'm taking the buyout. He's like, what? He said, they're not after you. I said, yeah, but the Lord is. And I said, I've got to do what the Lord told me to do. He's the one that gave me this job and told me to take this job when I took it 19 years ago, and I trust that he's going to take care of me. And so that was on a Monday, and 30 days later, I was off the payroll with AT&T and in a meeting in Dallas, Georgia with Brother Chris. So, and a year later, they laid my boss off, who had 46 years. So they did. The Lord got me out exactly when I needed to be out. But he's allowed us from the tent meeting. This is where we went full-time ministry, the first tent meeting. Of course, we were, 5 weeks under the tent, and we had to put off business jobs. And I did not have a single person balk at us putting them off, except for one. He was the one that claimed to be a Christian. So he felt like his TV being hung on the wall was more important than me being there for souls. So January of that year, we announced that we were going full-time after that first tent meeting. And we have been going full-time on faith ever since. So that's, anybody else? Yeah, good brother Luke.
Are you able to spend at your church if you spend any, like your sending church? And the second one is, do you do more than sound? I know you run the media and all that, but are you, you like the Lord's leading you into like maybe video production and things like that?
Okay, so to answer your first question, when we are home, we are at our church full time, which typically we are home, if you on the average, 1 week out of the month is the way it works out. So we're home about 12 weeks out of the year because we do work on churches locally, and we are in every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, a couple of the meetings we get to do are local, so that does help too. We do the Yancey County Camp meeting where all the churches are coming together. And my pastor is actually the moderator of that meeting, so we're able to do that. And when we're there, we're in Sunday school with the boys because I know traveling, we don't just take our children into any church's Sunday school class because I don't know those people. It has nothing to do with whether they're doing things right or not, but y'all know that there can always be wolves among the sheep. And so we're very careful with that aspect. So we are... best I can tell, on the average, we're there, 36 services a year, roughly something like that, 12 weeks. So, and of course, we participate with Bible school, and the church had a camp out that we were able to go on. And our people there, they are, I spoke with my pastor, as a matter of fact, this afternoon, but the people of the church, they're always keeping track on us. And that's something that we are so appreciative of. The people want to know where we're at and how we're doing, if there's anything going on that they can help with. So our local church really does love us, and we love our local church. In answer to your second question, the video production. So we actually do some of that. So the Who Will Go, which y'all have, some of y'all have heard about, Brother Chris and Brother James Ruckman. We actually shoot the video and photography for all of that. Brother David Ballinger does most of the editing work, but I get him all of the footage, the A-roll, B-roll. We traveled last year we worked on 52 churches, plus I traveled to Beckway St. Vincent the Grenadine for 2 weeks worth of tent meeting there with Brother David, helping to we did the sound. We shot several videos there and footage because, just like you said, in Lamentations, thine eye affecteth thine heart. We're trying to get it to where people can see what's going on. Just like when you're walking the streets over there tagging doors, that is such a large eye-opener. It's very powerful. So, yes, we are doing some of that as well. I actually have a video background as well. When I was in high school, actually it was roughly middle school, high school, because it was together. Eighth grade, I actually was on the video yearbook staff, and they threw a camera on my shoulder, and we had professionals teach us how to shoot video. So I was able to transfer that into some of this as well. The Lord prepared a way for me to be able to do a lot of what we do. We do computer work. We do security cameras, networks throughout whole churches. Y'all are very blessed with well, I will say blessed lightly, Brother John back there. Y'all have somebody who knows how to do that stuff. Your church is very blessed in a lot of ways that a lot of churches we walk into, they don't have the first clue on how to do anything. And we try and train them. It's not just we go plug it in and say, okay, it's yours. We spend hours training them while we're there if we can. Yes, ma'am.
Does your whole family go with you on all the travels that you do?
They have went with me on all the travel except for the overseas at this point. And I would love for them to be able to go with me, but at the same time, there is an expense there that is, it's not a vacation. And like last year, we were supposed to go to Papua New Guinea twice. And of course, COVID hit and shut that down. We have not been able to get it back in Papua New Guinea. Brother Chris was going to be able to preach to Parliament there. Yeah, out of 1611. They have one under glass that they were going to let him use, but they are a Seventh-day Adventist society, so he was going to be able to get to preach to them and preach to their parliament, and we're still praying for that to happen. There's multiple opportunities for that, and the whole reason our ministry gets involved with it is to get the video and shoot things so we can bring it back for people, for getting people a burden for the mission. Yes, ma'am.
So you and Mrs. y'all just live in the camper and travel, or you have a home?
Well, we have a home. Our camper is no longer on the road. Right now, we have been pulling in a 20-foot trailer. We stay in Prophet's Chambers most of the time while we're out traveling. And prayer is to get into a fifth-wheel toy hauler to be able to haul the tools and the equipment. I'm not like a normal missionary in the fact that I can throw my family into a camper and we're good to go, because we have so much equipment and gear. As a matter of fact, we're trying to figure out how to empty that out right now, but I'm gonna leave that one be. We are working to get, because it would make life so much simpler to be able to pull your home in, hook up, and then when we get back home, plug it back in and it'd be safe and ready to go again the next trip out. But we still do have a home. Of course, we had it before I left AT&T. So it is an expense, but it's one of these days the Lord may take me off the road, or if something happens to me, I want to make sure my family has a place to be. So, yes, ma'am.
What do you do for health insurance, or do you have health insurance? Or
we do. We actually are on a medical share with Samaritan's Ministries that we pay into, and they cover anything over $300, which we have got a couple of claims to make now, but we've never had to make a claim in the entire time we've been left from AT&T. But at the same time, we do keep that in place because I am getting older, and things do break when you put mileage on. So, well, if there's no other questions, I'll let Brother Kaiser have back at it here. And thank you, preacher.